I'm going to be reading from the parable of the two sons and the prodigal father. And as I read this very familiar passage, I would like you to listen for the leaning that I will offer the words describing the father. He, after all, is one of the principal characters in this parable. We don't always spend a lot of time discussing him, but this morning we would like to. And so listen as I read, leaning on those words that describe what the father does and what he thinks and how he acts. Jesus continued. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had and set off for a distant country and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went out and hired himself to a citizen of that country who sent him to the fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach from the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him, ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let us have a feast and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fatted calf because he was back safe and sound.' The younger brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so that I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We generally focus on the younger son. As a matter of fact, we call this parable the prodigal son, and we're referring to the younger son when we do that. And then over the years, the parable has been preached on so many times that pastors began realizing that, you know, there's another person in this parable we've got to talk about. And so they talked about the elder son. And they exhausted that subject, well, at least so far as our human understanding is concerned. But this morning, I don't want to focus so much on the younger son or the older son. I want to focus on the father. It is, after all, Father's Day. And so we think about who the Father is and what He does and how He does it and what impact that has on the two boys. We recognize that fathers have a principal role in our experience and our development. And in this parable, the Father's presence is no unlike other fathers' presence in our lives. So as we think about this dad, and we recognize that he's probably thought about his two boys and their differences many, many times, and we recognize that the son's request, "I would like you to split the inheritance and give me mine now," that probably did not come to dad with too much surprise, because he recognizes that his younger son is impetuous and willful and wants to have everything right now. So the boy comes to him, and he listens carefully to what the younger son is asking. And that's always crucial in the role of a father's life in our lives, is that we listen carefully. And listening is not only a matter of hearing words, not even hearing sentences. It's a matter of hearing with the heart. For listening is more than just decoding language. It's also a matter of understanding who is speaking. And we need to get behind the words and see beyond the actions to recognize what's being asked and how it's being asked. And this father's heart must have twisted within him when he knew perfectly well that this younger son was going to take the half of the inheritance that he would dole out to him, and that inheritance would be gone in a heartbeat. He recognized that the boy was asking for the wherewithal so that he could waste whatever he had in wanton living. But dad listened nonetheless. And he could have interrupted and said, "Now listen, son, I know perfectly well what's going to happen here. You're going to take all that I give you, and you're going to forget all the things that I've taught you. You're going to forget about it, and you're going to waste it all. I know what's going to happen. Why don't you be more like your older brother? He's always careful with what I give him, and he's always willing to do what I ask him to do. And you, well, I can't imagine that you come. You're more like your mother than I can imagine." Jesus doesn't tell us that that was the conversation that took place, but it could have been. No, Jesus says that this father listened. And listening is an important part of our contribution to the dynamics in our families. And we, as fathers, have a crucial contribution to make as we listen to our children, as we listen to our spouses, as we listen to our other relatives, as we listen to our friends and neighbors, as we are attending to the words and the ways that are impacting our lives and theirs in what they are saying. So dad listened. And then he acquiesced to the son's request. What a sad moment that must have been, for the father to see his bags of possessions loaded on the back of a donkey, carried away from the farm to the city, carried away from the family to the faithless friends that were going to take all that resource and destroy it. It must have broken dad's heart. But then Jesus says, while the boy is enjoying the high old life, dad is doing something really important. He is waiting. He listened, divided the inheritance, watched the inheritance disappear, listened, to the rumors that came back to him about the ultimate disappearance of that inheritance, and Dad says, I'm going to wait for my boy. Can you imagine the difference in this parable if Dad hadn't waited? If the younger son had come back having spent his time with the pigs, so far as we're concerned, there's nothing wrong with pigs, but so far as the Jews are concerned, there was something really wrong with pigs, and for this younger son to spend time with the pigs was an affront, an abomination. But having spent his time with the pigs, and having come home with a long face, tail between his legs, dragging his sandals, who comes to greet him but his dad? Now you need to picture this patriarch, this man of some years, this man of white beard and hair, creased face, stooped back, and he is throwing himself down the road to greet his wastrel son, throwing his arms around the boy's neck. He kisses him in the ultimate gesture of forgiveness and acceptance. What a difference this story would have been if the younger son had come home and his place had been replaced by someone else, perhaps a servant who the father had elevated to his position of responsibility. If he had come home not to find a welcome, but to find a stern, judging glance, what a different story this would have been. But no, this father waited for his son. The expectation that fathers need to have by the grace of God, as we watch our children make their way, make their decisions, make their mistakes, and find themselves in a position to come home. Fathers need to wait. Oh, I know some friends who are fathers who refuse to wait. They are constantly interfering in the lives of their kids, and they're always trying to manufacture, manipulate, trying to get things to turn out the way they want them to turn out, and remove all the chance that the Holy Spirit has to work in the hearts of their children. This father waited. And so we are instructed to wait. Because when the child comes home, when you see the child on the road and you throw your arms around their necks and you forgive them, because then it's the time to separate what they have done from who they are so that you can accept them once again into your family circle. That's the genesis, the grace of forgiveness. The separation of what has been done from who did it. This father was fully prepared never to mention this situation again. And he needed to assure that his son was never going to hear it from his lips again either. Because the nature of forgiveness is that once we have forgiven, we begin to learn from that experience, and in that learning, we don't need to repeat it. Am I making sense at this point? We talk about forgiving and forgetting, and we neglect to remember that forgetting is a very, very tough process. Forgiving is an act of grace in which God looks at us and doesn't see us, but he sees his son, and so he attributes to us all the goodness of his son as if we had never sinned, as if we had been as perfectly obedient as Christ was obedient for us. He forgives us seeing only that good work of his son instead of our filthy rags. That's the grace of forgiveness, and the Father practices that forgiveness. As he says to his younger son, welcome home, son. And then they start to party. This is the important element in this story. If you want to count verses, count the number of verses that deal with the celebration over against the number of verses that deal with the nasty things that the son did. The celebration takes up a whole lot more energy, a whole lot more words. The description is fulsome. It is full of imagery and pageantry. And you can see the servants singing and dancing one to another. The smell of roasting fatted calf is in the air. And we recognize that this young man who is wearing a brand new robe with rings on his fingers is now received back into the family. It is a celebration par excellence. And everybody hears about it, except the older brother who's been slaving away in the field. The poor boy never gets a break. And he comes from the field and he wants to know what's going on. And he hears the awful news that his younger brother has returned. And that's the one for that party is for. And the father says, "Don't you tell me how to run my family. Your younger brother was lost, and he is found. And of course we're going to celebrate his return. That is a matter certain. Don't mess with my decision." See, we have the impression that the father in this story is a sort of a, well, he's a wimp. The younger brother's going to divide the inheritance, and against his better judgment, he divides the inheritance, and he watches his inheritance go over the hills and down the valleys, and oh my, he just doesn't have the spine to tell his younger son, "Knock it off, boy, get out in the field and get the work done. You'll see your inheritance when the time comes." But then all of a sudden, this father begins to show a little more courage. And the older brother, who's got this big beef with the celebration, runs into the stern judgment of the father that this celebration is appropriate and it's timely. So we take our cue from the behavior and the attitudes of this father. It's not a one-to-one correlation. Jesus isn't inviting us to find somebody whose name is the same as this guy's name, has a couple of sons, one is younger and the other one, and make comparisons. No. Jesus is just saying there was a man who had two sons. And this is what happened. And this is what you need to know. And so we listen to what Jesus tells us, and we realize that in his instruction, he's telling us that we need to listen. We need to show the kind of compassion that allows us to wait. We need to be prepared to forgive and to celebrate. And in that instruction, we learn how it is to be the kind of fathers that glorify our heavenly Father. Let's pray together. So as we listen, as we wait, and as we forgive and celebrate, Father in heaven, give us the grace to imitate you, to do what you would have us do, to do what you have done. And in all those things, may we give to you the honor and the glory that is due your name. We are praying these things in Jesus' name. Amen.